Blog Talk Radio.
They remind me in the words of Scripture that ours is a future filled with hope. And if you share that faith with me, if you share that hope with me, I ask you tonight for your vote. If you reject the notion that this nation's promise is reserved for the few, your voice must be heard in this election. If you reject the notion that our government is forever beholden to the highest bidder, you need to stand up in this election. If you believe that new plants and factories can dot our landscape, that new energy can power our future, that new schools can provide ladders of opportunity to this nation of dreamers, if you believe in a country where everyone gets a fair shot and everyone does their fair share and everyone plays by the same rules, then I need you to vote this November. America, I never said this journey would be easy, and I won't promise that now. Yes, our path is harder, but it leads to a better place. Yes, our road is longer, but we travel it together. We don't turn back. We leave no one behind. We pull each other up. We draw strength from our victories, and we learn from our mistakes. But we keep our eyes fixed on that distant horizon, knowing that Providence is with us and that we are surely blessed to be citizens of the greatest nation on earth. Thank you. God bless you. And God bless these United States.
Hello? 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 Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Hello?
Doesn't sound like they started yet, so.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
You can hear me? Okay. I don't quite know what's happened with our, well, you know, they are just mechanical things, so they do go wrong, but I don't know what's happened to our host here.
He's there. I don't know why he's not here. What we're here.
Well, maybe he'll patch us in any moment.
Okay. Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Good morning.
I'll try calling him back one more time and see what's going on. If not,
okay.
we'll have to get started. Hold on.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Hello. I can hear you. Who's speaking now?
Yeah, I had to go
on. Can hear you? Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear. Yeah, I can hear you all the time. Something happened to my microphone. So
yes,
anyway,
I realize. Okay.
Yeah, I'm on the phone. Okay.
A few other people on the line with me. They were on the line with me.
Okay. Well, let's go. Sorry about that.
Okay.
Wow.
No problem.
Yeah, isn't that something? Well, what it is. Good thing I went to the back. I'm in the back office and picked up a telephone rather than use a microphone. But anyway, thank you very much for being here today. Really appreciate that. Did you hear when I started the program with Barack Obama talking about the
right
to vote?
Yes, that was so powerful. Oh, my God.
Wow.
I was just thinking, wow, imagine we had that person as a president. How wonderful and blessed we were, you know?
Yeah, but, you know, I think I'm going to do a program on that next Sunday just to talk, since the election is only about a month away.
Yeah.
It would be apropos to talk about the efficacy of doing a program
sure.
that addresses those issues. But into today, we have Jane Manette. She's a transformational therapist and a coach. She's been around the industry for a long, long time, and she's been helping people to get better, to get a sense of self, if you will. And when we talk about network marketing or any other kind of business or anything you do in life, it all depends on your ability to have that self-esteem and self-image and to always be able to correct yourself and do the right thing to make things happen in life. And so Jane has done that over and over and over again. And I just thought that she could come with us today and just lay out a whole scenario, because we have, what, 3 months left in this quarter of 2020? And when we bat an eye, we'll be at 2021, and that's about 3 months from now, 90 days from now. So, Jane, thank you very much for being on the show, and thank you very much for taking time out of a busy day. As a transformational therapist and coach looking at a new era, being in the 21st century, what one, two, threes, what kind of things would you have us to believe and to delve into and to pay attention to? How would that address us becoming better
that's
people?
That's a really interesting, that's a really powerful question, and I'm going to attempt to unpack that question and some response to it. Number one, at now greater than any other time, our health has to be at the top of our list. Our spiritual practices, our religious beliefs, our spirituality has to be number one, and our health has to be number two. Because with all the uncertainty that exists in our society, and uncertainty has always existed, we just are so aware of it now, that putting our health first right up there at the top of our list is important, because we can just kind of assume that we're going to be healthy. I had the kind of constitution that I was just always healthy. I never had any challenges. You know, I was very active and very productive. And even though I was very involved in the health industry, I really didn't have any concerns about my own health. So in many ways, unconsciously and unwittingly, I took it for granted. So I'd say whatever adjustments you need to make to focus on your health and to improve your health, that's got to be top. Because whatever you're wanting to do, whatever you're wanting to accomplish, however you want to help and serve and be of support to people that you love, if you're not healthy, you are a liability. And that's just the bottom line. You're going to be a liability to someone. So taking responsibility for self and taking the time and making the necessary resources available to take the supplements or to eat the type of foods or to go on the type of eating regime that you need or to get the fitness that you need. It doesn't cost anything to walk up and down your block, you know, so you don't need a gym to get fit. But whatever it is that you need to do now to secure the health that you have and to improve upon it is number one. And then the second thing that I, after the health, is I think one needs to have a serious, you know, meeting with themselves in the mirror. They need to seriously explore what is it that I would like to have do experience and what is it that I really need to have do an experience. And I think we often have a lot of fluffy, lofty goals that we're not focused on them enough to really make them come true, but they're kind of floating around in our consciousness and creating that uneasy feeling that I'm not doing well, I'm not doing enough, I'm not enough, I'm not on target, and we don't know how to overcome that particular kind of malaise. And it can undermine your productivity, it can undermine your focus, it can undermine your self-esteem. So we need to have a serious talk with ourselves. What are my primary goals now? Not how I wanted life to be when I was 25, how I thought life would be today, but right now, today, right here and now, what are my primary goals? You know, and be their relationship, financial, economic, whatever the goals are. You need to really get crystal clear about what you want, and then you need to get involved in a process of co-creating and manifesting those goals, not just by writing long list to-do lists, and that's one thing to do. But you see, writing to-do lists and measuring and setting goals and sub-goals, those things are very important, particularly if what you want to manifest is something material. You want to build something. You want to measure something. Then those kind of approaches to problem-solving and manifesting make sense. But if what you want to manifest is nothing that can be measured, like you want more self-esteem, more confidence, you want more self-appreciation, you want to be a greater impact in the world, you want to have a better relationship with your spouse, with your children, with your grandchildren, with your family, then you don't get those goals by making lists. You get those goals by activating that creative center within. So I want to talk about the two approaches to goal setting that I want to talk about.
Okay.
Those times, we've been taught, make a list, write down your goals, what are your priorities, what are your sub-goals, what are your all the steps in between from one goal to another. Those techniques are very, very, very helpful. But as many people who are listening will know, they've done that dozens and dozens and dozens of times, and they haven't realized their goal. And that's because that's not the right application for the kind of goal that you want. If you can measure it and weigh it, then that's an approach. But if it's something more ephemeral, if it's more ephemeral, if it's something that's cognitive, if it's something that's more emotional or intellectual, or spiritual, then you need to go about learning how to motivate yourself and how to become a manifester of your dreams. And that's an internal process. You don't get measuring.
Okay, but does a person do to even think about making that happen? Because as you indicated earlier, that we all have heard set goals,
mm-hmm.
but only 1-3% of the people have set any goals at all, right?
Exactly.
And they follow a day or two, and then they drop off, and that's gone by the wayside, and so they end up in the doldrums where they were first.
Well, see, oftentimes when people set material goals, I want a new house, I want a new car, I want a new wardrobe, I want an increase in income, and these are all measurable things, is that what's really underneath that goal is I want more love, is I want more significance, I want more impact. So they want the house because if they get the house, they feel they'll have a higher self-esteem, and if they have a higher self-esteem, they'll be appreciated by the world and have impact. So sometimes our motivation for the material things that we pursue, it's not that we don't want to enjoy. We're supposed to have everything on the top side of this earth is for us. But sometimes we focus on material goals, and it's a camouflage for what's really going on. So, for example, and if they had the new house, what would they then have? And it's okay, then they would have peace of mind. If they had peace of mind, what else would they have? Oh, I would feel relaxed. If you had relaxation and peace of mind, what would happen? Then I'd be healthier. Then I could focus on other things in my life. So oftentimes, the tangible goals that people are setting is really for intangible desires that they have. Are you following me?
Mm-hmm.
And the way to get those intangibles is to go within. And by going within, I mean learning how to create and how to motivate yourself. And most of us were not taught how to do that. And one of the ways to motivate, to create, is to visualize. And not visualize the entire process, but seeing it at the end. For example, if you want more patience, or more understanding, or more wisdom, or more humility, or more love, or more acceptance, or more tolerance, then you have to really visualize yourself experiencing that in the now. You don't visualize yourself learning to be tolerant, learning to be patient, learning to be loving. You have to visualize and see yourself as being a loving, kind, compassionate, tolerant human being. And you have to hold that vision of yourself and review that film that you make every over and over and over. When I work with people, I have them make a movie at night before they go to bed. I said, pick something that's really dear to you. You don't have to discuss it with anyone. And make a movie of yourself doing, having, being, seeing, and experiencing it, whatever it is, be it material or non-material. And so by learning to use the power of visualization, and imagination is the greatest nation, you know. We were given by our Creator a gift, a precious, precious gift that none of us have been taught completely how to utilize fully. The gift of visualization, the gift of imagination is unlimited. And you see it in children, you know, they have such an active imagination and they have a full-blown involvement, you know, they'd be all in and it's all imaginary. So we have to use our creative powers to create the life that we want. And then the other, that's the way to attract what you want. And the other way to motivate yourself is you have to talk to yourself, and you have to talk to yourself a lot. I was doing a seminar, I think it was in Boston years ago, and this young man came up to me. He was considerably younger than I was. Let's say maybe I was 40, maybe he was 25, or that's the way it looked at the time. And he said, he told me that I was the exact kind of woman that he wanted to marry. That was a strange first thing to say to someone. And he said, and I said, oh, how is that? He said, I'm giving myself a seminar now on marrying you. Well, it scared me a little bit. You know, I didn't know if this was a kook or what, but I listened carefully. I said, tell me about that seminar. He said, I have learned that all I have to do is give myself a seminar every day on what I want, and I manifest everything I want. And right now I'm giving myself a seminar on marrying you. Well, I thanked him and appreciated his admiration and got away from him as fast as I could. But I learned something from him. He said, every day I give myself a seminar. So many of us have been taught to wait to be discovered, to wait to be found out, to wait to be acknowledged, to wait to be appreciated, to wait to be admired, to wait to be loved. That's not the way it works. We have to give ourselves a seminar. We have to find out what do we need to hear. And we have to tell ourselves that every day. And beliefs are formed by what you hear. What does the Bible say about faith? You know, it comes from hearing. So so the whatever you're telling yourself is your gospel. The challenge is that we're not conscious of the radio or recording that's playing in the back of our minds, like in the back of a room. It's there, but it's so soft you don't hear it. So on an ongoing basis, our mind is playing and duplicating messages and things that we've heard all of our lives. And unless we penetrate that and put our own message in and tell ourselves what we need to hear, what we need to feel, how we need to see the world, we are really just being victims by society, family, cultural, religious programming that was not of our choosing. I want you to hear what I'm saying.
All right.
Take responsibility for your health. You have to learn how to motivate yourself. That's how you talk to yourself. You have to learn how to manifest and make your dreams come true. Speed them up by visualizing them, using your imagination, and giving thanks for them in the present like you already have it. You see, broke people ask for a down payment to a car. Rich people ask for the car. So one of the major distinctions about manifesting that I want to share is that we get we spend too much time on how. I want you to totally forget about how you're going to manifest your dream, but put all your intensity and energy and passion and focus
on what you want. Keep seeing what it is that you want and let the universe take care of the how. And rich people understand that and poor people don't. Poor people spend 99% saying, I don't know how I'm going to pay these bills. I don't know how I'm going to send these kids to college. I don't know how I'm going to manage in this COVID-19 pandemic. I don't know how I'm going to raise these children. It's a constant focus on how. Because they don't see the how, they don't focus and nurture and water the what.
Mm-hmm.
Are you following me? Is this making any sense?
Yes, yes. So you have to focus on the why.
On the what you want.
The
what you want.
Okay.
Yeah, the why fuels the energy. But if you don't get clear about what, that's what Napoleon Hill said. What do you want? And what are you willing to do to get it, you know? So by focusing on the what you want and not focusing on the how, because, see, the how speaks to current circumstances. By getting beyond circumstances and conditions and just having a clear, persistent image of what you want and on a daily basis, giving yourself that seminar that the young man was telling me about, that's how you manifest and how you motivate yourself to do what it is you say you want to do, is you got to talk to yourself.
Okay. Let me do it again, then. J. Paul Getty, W. Kimmel Stone, both of whom were paupers, if you will, when they started out, but both of whom became billionaires. And both of them say, you have to determine exactly what you want, determine the price you have to pay for it, pay the price, and go do it. So that falls in that line where you're coming from. Is that right?
Exactly. Exactly. To determine exactly what you want and what you're willing to do for it and do the best that you can to do it. The challenge is when your focus is on how, I don't know how I'm going to graduate from college. I don't know how I'm going to build this business. I don't know how I'm going to get a team of people in my downline. When you keep focus on the how, you don't do the what. You're not focusing on the what. But when you put all of your creative attention on what, all kinds of ways open up for that you can do to support your dreams and goals and ambitions and desires. So it's really erroneous thinking, bad training, miseducation, lack of education that we're all suffering from. And some people get that and some people don't. And,
well,
and unfortunately, degrees don't give you that. Degrees can give you other things, but they don't give you the ability to utilize that God-given power that you have called visualization, imagination, creativity.
Mm-hmm. I think if I were to go back a minute or two, I want to get back to the academic world as you described it a few minutes ago, but even Steve Jobs, on the way out, he said, life could be much broader once you understand that everything that was created on planet Earth, the plane, the rocket, the house, the car, the tree, I mean, all the things here, they were created by people no smarter than you. And once you really understand that, you can modify it, you augment that, you can improve upon it, you can make your own and sell it. But once you understand that, you'll never be the same again. So I think that's part of what you're saying. You have to understand that you are co-creator of the universe. Let me do this. I'm looking at some attraction cards by Esther and Jerry Hicks, whom you know. And on one card it says, you're meant to live an expansive, exhilarating, good-feeling experience in this universe. It was your plan when you made the decision to become focused in your physical body in this time-space reality. You were born knowing that you're a powerful being, that you're good, and that you're the creator of your experience, and that the law of attraction is the basis of the universe, and that you knew it would serve you well, and so it has. So, we're saying that when people get up in the morning, wherever they live, whatever circumstances that surround them, they are creators of that universe and have to take responsibility for where they are at this time and place. Am I right?
They absolutely have to get in the here and now and be in the present in order to create a new future. They have to start where they are, and they have to take responsibility.
Okay.
No, meaning they are not victims. They are not victims.
Wow. Okay. So how does one, based on all the academic training you get in colleges and universities, to be a teacher, lawyer, doctor, architect, whatever, that none of that is taught, obviously, to us or the people who go through that process. How do you switch from that to what you're talking about, that you have to see yourself as the co-creator of this universe, and whatever you see in your mind's eye, you can create that if you focus on that? Is that what I hear you say?
Yes, yes. You have to educate yourself. You have to read books. You have to listen to audio tapes. The information that's taught in universities is basically a method of manifesting. It's based upon measuring and weighing. I mean, if you can measure it, you know, that method works. But the kind of things that people need to manifest now quickly in their life, they need to come from a different resource. They need to come from a different place in their awareness. They need to understand that they have well-being and is innate. Intelligence is innate. Creativity is innate. Resourcefulness is innate. That's a part of our natural being. We don't have to do anything to become creative, but we have to focus on that which we want to create. The other thing, you asked me, what would I recommend? I said health. Then I talked about setting goals, about and different ways of creating, manifesting. The other thing that we need to do is make a real solid list of our resources. And when I say resources, I just don't mean their furniture and car and the balance on their credit cards and the balance in their bank accounts. I mean the people in their lives. This is a time to align with the most positive, powerful, influential people in your life. Because whatever it is you want to accomplish, you're going to need people to help you to accomplish it. So this is a time to reforge and reconnect with beautiful people, with people that have the same mindset that you have, that have similar goals, or just people that make you feel good about yourself, or people that are consistent with their talk and their walk. So this is a time to really focus on how we're spending our time. You talk about 90 days for the rest of the year. Wow, that's incredible. That's probably what it is. So if whatever it is you want to create this year, this is the time to decide it, choose it, focus on it, surround yourself with people who can support you in that aim, or who are working on their own parallel goals, or that you can support each other in that. This is the time for, I used to raise consciousness raising groups way back in the, I won't even tell you how long ago that was, but and where like-minded people got together and we raised our consciousness about racism, about elitism, about sexism, about classism. Those are the things we were working on, and we wanted to understand how those things impacted us personally and as a member of a community and what we could do about it. So you need to be around people that share your vision. They don't have to have your exact goals, but they're people that are on the same path. If you want to be healthy, you got to be around people that are focusing on health. If you want to generate and attract more wealth in your life, you need to be around people that are doing that or have done that or know how to do that So this is a time to spend your time aligned with the types of minds and personalities and energies and people that are supporting your goals and your ambitions. It's not the time to waste time. But I know people have turned their life from no money I know people that have made enormous amounts of money in 90 days. Even myself. Mm-hmm. I've gone from 10 cents to $10,000 a month in less than 90 days. I went to a meeting, a network marketing meeting, and I had 10 cents in my pocket. And when I raised my hand to say, I was so excited, what does it take to join? They said it was free. I just almost passed out because I'd already known I was going to have to borrow money just to sign up. It only required a form, and the form cost 10 cents, and that's what I had in my wallet. And I took that 10 cents and this determination and this focus. I didn't know how. I had never even done anything, never even heard of anybody or seen anybody do anything like network marketing. But so I called someone who was making $35,000 a month and asked if he would come into a meeting for me, and he laughed in my face and said, no way. So anyway, but he told me what to do, and I did those things and got phenomenal results and taught other people to do those things, and they got even better results than I did.
All right.
So
here's a big deal. Here's a big deal. Why did he say no? That's important why he said no initially.
Okay, he said no initially because I was brand new. I'd just gone to a meeting, signed up, and he said no because I was so educated, really. He said people who are very educated are not so coachable, and they don't. And you have to be coachable. You have to. He said, if I tell you what to do, you're probably not going to do it. I said, I'll do exactly what you say. He said, no, you're not. You're going to second guess it. You're going to overthink it. You're going to analyze it, and you won't do it. And I said, I promise if you'll just come and do one meeting for me, just one meeting, because I want people to see that a person can make $35,000 a month and is real. I lived in Detroit, and he lived in Chicago. He said, no way. No way. You convince me that you can follow instruction, meaning that I'm teachable and coachable. So I was very crestfallen. So I said, okay, what do I have to do? So he gave me five things to do, and I did them. Had phenomenal success. So his understanding, he had an eighth grade education with a bad back. He was an eighth grade dropout from the south side of Chicago, so you know he had to be smart. So his understanding is that the more educated people are, the less creative they are. The more educated,
because,
the less they think for themselves, the less they think outside of the box.
I see. Because of the prior programming.
Because of programming. You talked about how all that training trains you to work for somebody else, to make money for other people, to implement other people's goals and plans, but it doesn't teach you how to create the life of your dreams or even how to begin to dream about what you want. So he was a little rough on me. He was a little rough around the edges, but there was possibly some truth in what he was saying. And he knew from his experience, he wanted somebody, if he said jump, they say how high. He wanted somebody who was teachable and coachable. And because I was so, I don't know what made him think, I guess I just sound too educated, too formally educated.
But you were doing some therapy work
I,
in the community when you met him. Were you not?
Yes, I was the therapist. Yes, I was in private practice. Right, I was in private practice. But these people, these are not the kind of people who make it in network marketing, from his experience. He wanted somebody who was hungry, somebody would think outside of the box. He felt I was too conditioned and too programmed and doing things a certain way, but he was wrong about me. And he later told me that and told that to hundreds of people that I was wrong about Miss Manette.
Okay, what happened to you in the next 90 days? Because I met you in 85 when you were riding high.
Right. Okay. Well, what happened is he told me to make a list of everybody I know, just every single human being I know, put them down on a list. I said, okay. He said, now I want you to go through the list and cross out all the negative people. Well, the list got a little lighter, you know. I want you to go through the list and cross out everybody that you don't find supportive of you in some way. So I was left with people that I believed in and who believed in me. He said, now you have to call at least and invite 100 people to a presentation. I went, oh my God. After the list, I had to have 100 people left over. You have to call 100 people, and if you call 100 people, 50 of them already have a conflict and can't make it. He said, if you invited 100 people to Christmas dinner right now, 50 of them already have plans and won't be able to make it. So now out of that 50 who are available, only half are going to show up. But if 25 show up, you'll be a millionaire. I said, what are you talking about? So he said, there you go. There you go. You know, I said, okay. Can you call 100 people? Yes. Can you eliminate all negative people? Yes. Can you invite 100 people to your house knowing only 25 are going to show up? He said, and now you got to have product for them to sample. I said, but I don't have any money. He said, get over it. No? So you need to have product because you need everybody that comes in needs to sample the product, needs to see the product, and then you need to talk about the business and talk about the product. So I made my list. I eliminated negative people. I called 100 people. 27 showed up. And I shared the product, and he's right. Everything he said came true. And he told me that I was looking for people that were teachable, that had a burning desire, that were teachable, that were coachable, had a burning desire, and were resourceful enough to track whatever they needed to kick their business off, to start their business. And for, that was just a few hundred dollars in those days.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, and I taught that same system to everybody, and everyone who did it and who's done it subsequently has had phenomenal success. And every time I would say, but why? He said, there you go again. You're not listening.
I see. So you got to really be coachable. You got to really listen,
oh,
and you got to take those steps in those directions that he's been on. He's walked the path already.
And you have to have a burning desire. And if your desire is not burning, you need to call me. You need coaching or you need therapy. See, if a person doesn't have a burning desire, if they don't have enough motive, okay, let's put it this way. I love strawberry ice cream. Let's use this as an example. If I don't have enough motivation to get up and go get what I love, what I treasure, what I value, then something is wrong if I say I want strawberry ice cream. So if you want a $10,000 a month income, $15,000, $20,000 income, or whatever it is you want,
mm-hmm.
if you don't have enough motivation, enough energy, enough drive, enough motivation, as my mother used to say, enough umption to go get what you want, then there's something wrong with your internal belief system. And that's when you need to talk to someone like me. If you're involved in self-sabotaging behavior, if you continue to set goals and they peter out, if you join one company after another, after another, after another, and don't get results, then something is going on in your belief system. There's some part of you that believes that you don't deserve it, that you're not enough, that you don't have what it takes, that you can't make it to the end, that you don't have, that you're not truly a winner. And if that belief was instilled in you, as all beliefs are instilled in us by the time we're 7, and if that belief is still germinating and living in you, it's going to sabotage everything you do. I don't care how many times you tell yourself that you deserve $100,000 a month, $10,000 a month, whatever. The mm-hmm. amount is not even relevant. So for those people that know already that they have something going on inside of themselves, they've read all the books, they've gone to the seminars, they've signed up for the businesses, they've taken all the training, but yet they're not manifesting. That's because they have a conflicting belief system. One part of them is saying, I want it. The other part is saying, but you can't have it. You'll never have it. You don't deserve it. You're not enough. You're not good enough. You don't have what it takes. And if that system is like a recording in the back room still playing around over and over and over and over and over and over and over again all day, you're just wasting your time. Better you invest in your own well-being and identify and eradicate those limiting beliefs, freeing yourself up from them. Then you can focus on visualization, imagination, making movies at night, talking to yourself in the mirror, giving yourself seminars all day. But if you're talking out of one side of your mouth in a positive seminar and there's something deeply bedded in you that was put there by a well-meaning person, probably some belief that you took on as a child and you're not even conscious of it anymore. But I can tell you if it's true, you're procrastinating. You're not motivated. You don't get up excited about what you say is important to you. You don't follow through on your own values. You align yourself with people that don't support you. You pursue people that don't begin to have what you need. If you're involved in that kind of activity, that's self-sabotaging. If you'll dream big dreams and you'll make short-term commitments and then you fizzle out or when it gets hard, you give up. See, when you want something, you go for it. You know, when you want something, you're willing to do it. So if any of that stuff is true for you, then you have a conflict of beliefs.
Okay.
And as long as that is true, it's going to be pretty challenging for you to realize. And when that's no longer, and the thing about it, those beliefs are so easy to identify and eradicate and eliminate and delete. I can do it with anybody in 2 hours. I have a 2-hour session where we identify what the problems are, we remove them, and then I produce a tape, an audio MP3 on exactly what it is the person wants to do, and they listen to that every night for 21 to 30 days, and their world changes.
Okay.
It's amazing.
I have a website that people can go
yes.
to and get additional information. What is that website?
It's clarityconfidenceimpact.com.
Okay. You have just returned in the last 6 months, 8 months, whatever it was, from England, understudying Melissa. Could you talk about Melissa Peel?
Well, as a graduate student in clinical psychology, you know, we learned hypnosis. We learned all kinds of techniques to help people. And I was just online on Facebook, and I saw some flash about a video or Facebook presentation or something that Marissa was doing. And I listened to it. I said, wow, that's interesting. And I listened to it again and again. I went online to YouTube and found several of hers and listened to them. And I said, that's really exciting. And I had been through a period where I had a great major, major, major loss, financial loss. And all losses are painful, whether they're loss of loved ones, loss of opportunity, loss of whatever. Whenever a person loses, it can be a very challenging time. And I'd had a major, humongous financial loss, and I was still grieving it, but I wasn't fully aware of it. So I was kind of avoiding people and not really wanting to initiate a lot. And, you know, I would present something. If people didn't say yes right away, I would just kind of walk away. Nothing like my normal self. So I said, well, maybe I need to take one of these sessions, these RTT, Rapid Transformational Therapy sessions. So I looked on her line and found somebody in Florida, called up a woman I didn't know. I said, I'd like an RTT session because of this, 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 and that. I'm not as motivated. I'm not as inspired as usual. In fact, actually, after thinking about it, I'm probably depressed, and I want to deal with this. She said, okay. She asked me a few questions, found out what was going on, how did those things present themselves in my life. We set an appointment. I paid her. We did the session, about 2 hours, and she made me this audio tape. I'm telling you, I went from dull gray to shiny, shiny bright. I went from stormy to sunshine. I totally, totally let go of those things that were troubling me. I totally let go of the depression, the sadness, the self-flagellation. See, I was still beating myself up about having lost so much, had such potential, and I lost it. It wasn't my fault, but I was still upset about it. I was still blaming myself. I let all of that go. And I said, my God, if I can benefit from this much, I would love to devote some of my time to helping other people. And I didn't expect to really learn a lot of new stuff because I basically had the same training that she had. But I went over at my expense, stayed in a hotel for a month, paid for the course, did the training, and it's really a wonderful thing that I did for myself and other people. And I have the exact tools that I need to help anyone who's ready to change their life upside down. I mean, somebody who's just had enough of what they're experiencing and they're ready to do something about it and they want a difference and they can identify with the things that I'm saying. If you are not living the way you want, if you're not living with the person you want to live with, if you're not living how you want to live with, you've got some limiting beliefs. And I'm a master at identifying and changing those beliefs in a short period of time. And I do therapy and I do coaching because what I found is that if somebody called you today and said, you just won a brand new house full of upscale furniture and we're delivering it tomorrow at 12 o'clock, you would first have to make some arrangements to get rid of what you have. So in order sometimes to bring something new in your life, you have to handle certain conditions in a way that you already are in. So that's why I do the therapy and the coaching, because I help people walk them through the process of transforming their lives.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does. But you have been doing therapy and helping people, NLP, et cetera, for many, many
years.
Oh, yeah.
All
right.
Oh,
what
definitely.
Okay. Well, what is the difference from what you were doing to what you're doing now? What is the difference in the two activities?
Well, right. Well, let me just say that. First of all, coaching is about where you are right now, what do you want, and what's keeping you from getting there, and somebody helping you to create a plan to get there, and helping you manage and manage whatever obstacles you perceive to be in your way. Either go over them, go around them, go through them, whatever. That's what coaching is. Therapy is about dealing with what issues in your past have impacted you so greatly that they're still running the show today. So I do a combination of therapy and coaching. And NLP practitioner, I'm also an NLP practitioner. That's when I got introduced to NLP by Tony Robbins, I think in 87. And I think I became a practitioner with him in 88 after Dick Gregory had started promoting the Dick Gregory diet and all those people start hanging out together. I became a part of that group. So I became a practitioner. And what NLP does is NLP teaches people how to utilize information that they get from themselves and others to advance their communication and their impact. And that's a longer discussion. But coaching, therapy, and NLP are all three different skill sets. I have all three skill sets. And I trained in traditional clinical psychology, so I have a wide range of skills to work with the person who is ready to change their life. But what makes rapid transformational therapy, RTT, so powerful is that it's done in 2 hours. You see, I don't need to hear all about your past. We need to talk about how you feel. If you have a toothache, you want the dentist to remove it. You don't want to go and talk to the dentist about how it felt today, what happened last night when you were at dinner and you couldn't eat steak, what happened last night when you invited out and you're so embarrassed because you could only have the soup because your mouth was hurting so much. You want problems solved. You don't want to talk about the impact of the problem. So what I do is solve the problem, not just talk about it. And I don't solve it on make-believe. I actually get those beliefs that are embedded in you by putting you in a very relaxed state and just asking, when did this problem first present itself? And it just comes up. So it's amazing. It's amazing work. I love it. I thank God that I do it. I'm happy to do it. It's one of my favorite things to do for anyone because it's so powerful.
Now, we know that most successful people, be it Tony Robbins, Les Brown, Mark Victor Hansen, Bob Proctor, et cetera, all of whom have a coach. Jim Rohn.
Everybody has a coach. Everybody has a coach.
No. Everybody does not have a coach.
No, I mean every successful person has a coach.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Every successful person has a coach, right.
Okay. Most people I meet, overwhelmingly 90% plus, They don't even know how to spell coach, more like have a coach.
Yeah.
Now, what's wrong with that picture?
Well, it's that when you're caught in a survival cycle, when you see yourself as having to survive and overcome circumstances and conditions on a daily basis, when you're in that, Maslow had a hierarchy of needs, and he talked about when you're in that survival state, it's not. You don't have coaches, you know, because a coach is something that people who have manifested their way out of survival, they've learned to create and attract and work with the law of attraction or self-suggestion or auto-suggestion or self-talk, whatever they've done, they've elevated themselves to the point beyond just survival. And even if they're in a survival state, if their circumstances are limited or challenging, they have been taught to transcend those circumstances and not empower them. So it's just a way a person thinks, as Napoleon Hill says. Whatever you think is true about yourself. If you think life is wonderful, you're right. If you think life is a hassle, you're right. If you think you're a fabulous human being, you're right. If you think you're no good, you're right. So whatever it is that you believe about yourself is your truth, is your gospel, and you live it out and you act it out every day. So the people that you're coming in contact with are in a survival stage, and that's not the stage where most people create from. But some people create from there. Some people, their challenging circumstances is the thing that gives them the gasoline and the fuel to never be there again. When Tony Robbins started, he was in a 300-foot apartment. He was reading books in a 300-foot apartment. He was in a very, very small, because all he could afford. So where you start, where you are is not the issue. Where you start is not the issue. It's where, how consistently you describe and create in your mind's eye where you want to go, where you want to be, how you want to be, how you want to feel, look, what you want to experience, and what you're prepared to do about it.
Okay.
Without focusing on how am I going to make this happen, the more you focus on, see, everybody's like a little acorn tree, a little acorn seed. Inside of that little seed is all the capacity and the power and the strength and the wisdom and the everything it takes to become a strong, strong, strong oak tree. Everything is in that little seed. But if it's not nurtured and watered and doesn't get sunshine, it won't grow. So the nurturing and watering and sunshine in terms of making your dreams come true are visualization, imagination, speaking to yourself, surrounding yourself with the right people, reading and listening to things that enhance your self-esteem, and just keeping people at bay that don't float your boat. You have no obligation to be with anyone that you don't enjoy.
All right. That's why they say you have to choose your company, choose the people that surround you. And they say if you look around you and your first 10, 15 persons who surround you, if they're not really doing things right, making progress, in charge of themselves, have good self-esteem and self-image, you need to kind of get rid of those people, so to speak.
And not you don't
time.
Put them out of your heart. You just don't spend time with them, because
time
is precious.
Right. Okay.
You don't stop.
Time
you don't being mean to them. You don't diss them. You don't. But you do ghost them. You do give them some space. You don't spend time with them. But you don't. You don't. You know, if you used to talk on the phone with your brother for 20 minutes every day, and he never has anything new to say. All he's doing complaining about his job and his kids and his wife. You want to cut that out. That's not prospering you, and it's not prospering him. If you have a best girlfriend and all she does every day is download everybody, what everybody did to her on her job and how horrible it is and all the challenges she had, that's not a prosperous relationship. That's why aligning what you want with the kind of people who want it, your values and your actions and your deeds, when all that stuff is in alignment, that's when magic happens. So you can't be spending time with people who hate their lives and think your life is going to get better.
True. Or complaining a lot.
Or complaining about anything, right.
Right. Now, since you've been back, you've had some clients. And I just want to give us a feel of the clientele you've been working with and the kind of progress you have made with your clients, if you will.
Sure. I'll just take a few. Okay, I'll take one. I won't name where he's from, but he owned his own mortgage company. And he had some people working in his office were doing some illegal things, unethical things. When he learned about it, the authorities came down on him, threatened his business. He felt very ashamed, very guilty, and he was so stressed he was considering suicide and homicide. He didn't know whether the thing to do was to kill himself or kill the kids so they wouldn't live with the burden. So he was, do I just kill myself? Do I just, you know, go to jail? Do I just kill my wife and kids? What do I do? And after the session, he told me that he made more money than he'd ever made in 1 month in his entire life. He didn't go to jail. He was procrastinating, not reading the letters and the threats that were coming from the Justice Department or whatever department, or State Department. He was just not dealing with anything. He was just hiding in his room, and he couldn't sleep at night. And he started opening the letters and dealing with them, calling the authorities back and handling it. And he had a meeting with them, and they worked it out. They clearly understood that he was not the culprit, but he had hired people who had caused something in a whole nother deal. And then the person that he had learned this business from years ago, he just went to talk to him and the person says, I'm ready to sell my business and I'd like to sell it to you. So he got a big time promotion. He didn't go to jail. He didn't kill himself or his kids. And he's making more money than he's ever made in his life. That's okay. One example. I'll give you another example. This person has a military background. They've had a lot of success in business, but they have this real anger problem. I mean, like really ugly anger problem. It's to the point that it's self-defeating. And they say they felt like they were living life with the emergency brakes on, like they were always having to hold themselves back because they didn't fully trust themselves because they had been subjected to a lot of severe punishment as a child. And it had impacted them in so many ways that they hadn't even realized, with his own children and his wife, et cetera. So I did a session with him. All the stuff came out. We got rid of it. We replaced it, eradicated, deleted it, created a positive a vision of a positive outcome that he wanted, and he's doing great now. He's doing fabulous. There's just so many. Worked with a psychologist, she's a psychologist, PhD psychologist, and she had some unresolved issues from her childhood that left her feeling less adequate, insecure, not taking advantage of situations, just kind of staying in the background, constantly excessively avoiding conflict. You know, she had a lot of little issues going on. So we worked with it, identified the issues, identified the problem, got rid of it, came up with a solution, and she's doing fabulous now. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Teachers, mothers, kids. I work with children too.
Okay. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Those
and
are
your
examples.
Website again. Your website.
Pardon?
Your website.
Website.
Okay.
www.clarityconfidenceimpact.com. www.clarityconfidenceimpact.com. See, I'm of the belief that the Creator put his signature on each and every one of us, that we all have a gift or gifts. We all have a talent and gifts. But when all this clutter is going on in our minds, in our lives, in our heads, we don't get a chance to express or develop that gift. And that true happiness comes not by how many red bottom shoes you have, how many fast cars you have, how many houses you have, how many suits, how many credit cards, or any of that material stuff. The true happiness and fulfillment comes when you're delivering your gift to the world. Whether that world is a group of parents at a PTA or a group of children that you tutor or your church, I believe that people are happy when they're doing what they're using their God-given gifts and serving humanity. So that's why it's clarity. You got to get clear about what's mucking up your life. Then when you get clear, you got to get the confidence and the support that you feel that you need to be your authentic, true self, not live life according to other people's definitions, but live life according to how you define it. That's what you do when you have confidence. And then you can go in and have that impact in the world. And it's that impact in the world, that giving and receiving from others, that truly makes your soul happy. Because look at the people who earn oodles of money and they still couldn't create that sense of happiness because they weren't doing what they really loved. They weren't doing what they really enjoyed. They got caught up in a lot of minutia, and it didn't produce the response that you get. When you know who you are and you know what your talents are, and you go in and hone and master those talents and you utilize those talents, and boy, it's such a great feeling. And that feeling is priceless. That's what happiness is. That's right. What fulfillment, that's what success is in my value system.
Well, most people have not determined the purpose, goals, and objectives, their potential that they were born with, and are pursuing that. Most people. Would you say yes?
I would say I absolutely agree, because our school system and education system were designed by people who ran the Industrial Revolution. What they wanted is to train us to work for them, to produce for them, to be good employees, to be good workers, to get on the plantations. And even though the Industrial Revolution is phasing out, that education system is still in place. And this is why everybody's having so many problems with it. It just doesn't meet our needs today. But the people who designed the educational system, they weren't designing to become millionaires or be happy or be content or be fulfilled or have happy, healthy children or to have be healthy, they were designing a system to keep you working for them, to keep you implementing their goals and making them rich. And did they succeed?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So they did not teach us self-development and self-worth and how to motivate ourselves and how to create and how to attract or how to align ourselves. I'll tell you about a client I had, very interesting, just the one I just finished in California. This person wanted to understand what they needed to do to have better relationships. So once they understood what they really wanted in a relationship, then he stopped wasting all of his time with people who weren't giving him that. So he learned what he really wanted. Then he aligned his behavior with what he really believes and what he wants. And it was just a phenomenal experience for him. So it doesn't matter wherever in your life the self-sabotage is showing up. Haven't you had enough of it? Isn't it time to end it? Don't you want something better? Haven't you figured out if you were going to be able to do this by yourself, you would have done it already? And another false belief that our educational system did is that if we have a problem, it's our fault. If we can't solve it by ourselves, that means something's wrong with us. That's not the way we're designed. The Bible says we're supposed to be helpers one to another. We were designed to help one another. We're supposed to help each other out. We're not supposed to have all the answers and do everything by ourselves. And that's one of the challenges of the lone entrepreneur. They're doing everything. And now we know that doesn't work. That's why I say create a network of people that you believe in, that believe in you, and support them, encourage them in whatever they're doing. And you would be encouraged too, whether you call it a master. I used to do consciousness-raising groups, and then I used to do mastermind. In fact, I have one of the most phenomenal mastermind partners in the world. And boy, did we manifest. She set a goal to become cancer-free. She had cancer of the uterus. And this is in 1980. And I set a goal to make $1 million, and we both got what we wanted. Napoleon Hill talks about the mastermind principle. Learn it. Use it. Get a mastermind partner. Work with someone. Work with a few people who are on the same page, because we need the encouragement of other people, and we need to be around the kind of energy and enthusiasm that you get when you're around people who are doing what they love and love what they do.
Okay. There's a book called The Butterfly Effect by Andy Andrews. Do a summary of this quickly. It says, everything you do matters. Every move you make, every action you make, you take, matters. Not just to you or your family or your business or your hometown, but everything you do matters to all of us forever. So, Jane, really appreciate you being on the air. And sorry we had a slow start, but I think the essence of what you had to say got through. And for those individuals who want to follow you and continue to be mentored, guided, and directed by you, give us that website once again.
That's www.clarityconfidenceimpact.com. And they can have my phone number, 954-260-4017. Let me repeat that, 954-260-4017. 4017.
Okay, Jane, thanks for being on the air. I really appreciate it. Blog Talk Radio is going to be archived.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me. Thanks for being a part of your impact.
Oh, not a problem. Not a problem. So people who want to share it with others can go to thevoiceofblackwallstreet.com, and it's going to be archived there. The program, of course, is done here on September 27th, 2020, getting ready for the last quarter of 2020. So thanks, Jane. Appreciate it. Any other lasting comment? Any closing comment?
Just one that you have. I just want people to know that they have everything they need. They have all the strength, the power, the intelligence, the support, the love, the compassion, the skills. They have everything they need to be magnificently successful as they define it. Everything they need already. It's innate.
So we're good to go.
All right. Yes, you are. Thank you.
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot. Have a good one. Okay, folks, see you next week. Same time, same place. Another show talking about the positive principles of self-development. And we thank Jane for being with us. And so you have a good weekend. You have a nice Sunday. And share this program with other people. The Voice of BlackWallStreet.com. Have a good one.